Check, check, check. It's a Monday afternoon, and I'm sitting with two women in the lobby of the University of Wisconsin Superior's Yellow Jacket Union. Gail Trombley and Raina Crow are two people that I didn't know at all a few months ago. When you first meet them, you wouldn't have any idea that they're survivors of violence. Both are energetic and friendly and incredibly open individuals with very keen senses of humor. They actually have me laughing so much that it's easy for me to forget why it is that we've met in the first place. Raina is a well-known organizer with Idle No More in Duluth, and she introduced me to Gail so that she could share a story with me, a story that's not very easy to hear. And on that note, be advised that some of the upcoming content in this segment may not be suitable for younger folks, so if you have sensitive listeners with you, this might be a good time to turn off the radio for a minute. Ready? Okay. Here's Gail.
Hi, my name is Gail, and I am Ojibwe / Cherokee. I started turning tricks when I was 14. They used to call us back then BPs, baby prostitutes. For me, running the boats, hell, that was a party. And I got money. It was even a better party. I had these guys feeding my ego, and the cool thing about that was I had control. Like I said before, I had control over what happened. I wasn't being raped. Well, I kind of was, but I chose how much I chose, which is a lot different than some of the other women. See, it's pretty easy. You can hide, you know. I went to Thunder Bay. I went to sleep and I woke up and I was at Thunder Bay. They had taken me to Thunder Bay. I'm like, Border Patrol, Customs, all of these people have to come on this ship to clear the ship to leave the United States. How did I wind up in Thunder Bay in Canada? I managed to get my way back.
Gail is a survivor of the sex trade, and one of many women, an unknown number really, who have been caught up in sex trafficking on the ships that cross Lake Superior and end up in the Duluth Harbor. The Twin Ports has been a hub for the trafficking of women and children for sex for a surprisingly long time. Scott Trullo is a police officer in Duluth. He spent 17 years there, where he worked on several trafficking cases that involved Lake Superior ships.
Essentially, what we learned was that Duluth was pretty well known in this subculture, and I don't even know if that's the right word to call it, but this lifestyle, as being a hub for trafficking activity, specifically of young Native American girls and young women. The investigator Lannon ended up talking to investigators out in Vegas and all these other places, and one of the more interesting ones was a conversation he had with a Vegas Metro Vice officer. Investigator Lannon's asking him, telling him where we're from and what we're investigating. And he starts talking to us like he knows everything there is to know about Duluth. And we're looking at each other like, really? And this guy's out in Vegas? You know, how does he know about Duluth? And how does he know about these young Native American girls and young women? So Bill asks him, and he says, well, most of our teenage prostitution victims that are being trafficked come from Minnesota. And we're like, yeah, we kind of figured that. And he said, most of those come from Duluth. And we're like, what? There's not that many people here in Duluth. But that's when we found out that this is kind of being a funnel point.
Christine Stark, an author, artist, activist, and graduate student at the University of Minnesota Duluth, recently fell into the media limelight when word reached the public of her current research project. Her study tells the stories of Native American women who have survived being trafficked on the Duluth ships. The completed project is still forthcoming, but Christine says that she's found that the crime is still taking place on the ships today, and that there are many ways that victims are lured in.
A number of the women that I spoke with would say, like, I started going out on the boats, and later I realized that bartender who set all of this up for me was getting a kickback. So he was getting paid. In essence, he was pimping her out onto the ships. He didn't hold a gun to her head and drag her out there, but he set the whole thing up. sometimes it was pimps dragging, you know, women and youth out there, or coercing or forcing them. And sometimes it was, you know, just this like undercurrent of, hey, why don't you go out onto these ships? They've got really good food. Well, you know, if you have some folks who don't have a lot of money and they're hungry, or they don't get very good food very often, or, you know, I would love to have good food. If somebody said, hey, go out here and have some good, you know, food, I'd be like, I'd be interested. You know, a big party, it's going to be fun. Right? But the reality for many of the women is that it was not fun at all.
In Gail's case, she didn't even know she had been trafficked until much later.
The owner of the zoo was telling us. I really didn't know that he was. It still baffles me, you know? But he would tell this guy, yeah, yeah, you know. And me, you know, wow. He really likes me. Well, when I found out that Kuta Harris was selling me, you know, how can you be so stupid? But anyway, I thought, nah, screw that. It's my body. I'll do what I want. You know, you're not valued and you're not given any value. So therefore, your body is just a body.
So, why is this happening? Who is involved? And what can we do about it? Tune in this week at 8:50 a.m. each day as we speak with Scott, Christine, Gail, and others to learn more about the so-called Lake Superior sex trade. For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this series comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.